Welcome to the Oral History Review at the Oxford University Press blog. Occasionally, we like to break up the monotony of text posts with a podcast, celebrate the oral and oral history, so to speak. With these podcasts, we hope to give the Oral History Review's authors and editors a place to elaborate on or build upon their scholarship. Furthermore, as with all of our social media efforts, we aim to build awareness of the art and craft of oral history. The following podcast is hosted by Troy Reeves, the Oral History Review's managing editor and head of the Oral History Program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Enjoy.
Thanks, Caitlin. That was our new podcast introduction brought to you by Caitlin Tyler Richards, our wonderful social media coordinator at the Oral History Review. Today we're going to be talking to Michael Gillette. Michael is the author of Lady Bird Johnson, an Oral History, published by Oxford University Press. The interview is conducted over the phone. Michael is on a cell phone. Sound quality is pretty good, all things considered. There's also a touch of operator error at the start. I didn't record the first question I asked Michael, which was his interest in oral history. So he starts talking at the beginning of his answer to my question. So here we go.
When I was an undergraduate at the University of Texas, I was studying Huey Long. Some friends of my parents took me to Louisiana and introduced me to some people that had known Huey Long, and I guess for all practical purposes, that was my start. And I ended up doing a whole series of interviews with the guy that ran his Huey Long Senate office, and this guy had not been interviewed by D. Harry Williams, but he gave me a lot of interviews, and so I would say that was my first serious effort.
Maybe we could talk a little bit now. It's about your interest in the Johnsons, or specifically your interest in Lady Bird.
Well, I was doing oral histories on LBJ before I went to work for the library. And in fact, one of the reasons I think that I inherited the oral history program at the Johnson Library from the university-based antecedent project was that I had already done quite a few interviews on LBJ, including one with LBJ himself. And it was on that occasion that I met Mrs. Johnson the first time. It was April 1970. I was interviewing him at his office in the Federal Building, and she came in and just introduced herself very graciously. We didn't really have anything to talk about other than just her hospitality and saying hello.
And Michael, before we get to a bit more about Lady Bird, this wasn't your first foray into a published effort using oral history. Is that correct?
No. I guess 1996, Twain published a volume of Launching the War on Poverty and Oral History, and Oxford University Press published the second edition of that about 2010. The LBJ School of Public Affairs also published three volumes of interviews that I conducted dealing with the 1988 presidential campaign. I did 400 interviews on that 88 campaign. Okay. I did interview Dukakis, and I interviewed George W. Bush, the future president, because he was a member of the family that was most involved in the Bush campaign.
I want to start a bit of a discussion here about the Lady Bird book, and I want to focus on something you acknowledge both in the acknowledgments and the introduction, and that's the importance of a prior preparation. We like to say here that prior preparation prevents piss-poor performance, so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the importance of making sure you've done your homework before you interview, you know, anyone, whether they be elite or non-elite.
Well, and it's easier to do the research with someone who is well-known where there is a paper trail. After 1937, when LBJ was elected to Congress, there was more of a written record for preparing a chronology to go through her life as well as his. I don't think there was anything that in her possession that I didn't have access to, anything that I could find I could use. And I had a very able research staff, principally Regina Green. Greenwell and Leslie Brunet, who worked on the oral history project for years, and Regina is still now she's a senior archivist here at the LBJ Library, but they would go through everything year by year, everything in LBJ's records, newspaper clippings, appointment calendars, correspondence from likely individuals with whom the Johnsons had contact, and prepare a very detailed chronology that would sometimes run 30, 40 pages, and present me with that, as well as all the background material that they had used to assemble that chronology. There were two sets. I would get a set, and Mrs. Johnson would get a set. And, of course, in addition to all of that, we would draw some questions and topics from other interviews, things that other interviewees had raised or that had been raised in secondary works or memoirs. So it was a fairly detailed process. And Mrs. Johnson would spend a great deal of time going through those folders before we started recording the interview. The other thing that she did, she would take a photograph, an album of photographs off the shelf. She kept all of those albums in the yellow sitting room where we did the interviews at the LBJ Ranch. And she would look at the photographs as an additional aid to jog her memory. And when you read the transcripts, you see that often she is talking about the photographs because she just looked at them. And that's the reason that the photographs come up a lot in her references, because she's got these albums right there in front of her.
So, Michael, it sounds like Lady Bird Johnson wanted to be an active part of the interviewing process.
Yeah, she devoted a lot of time to it, as she did everything. There was a lot of thorough preparation on her part. I think we might have been able to do more, except for the fact that it was very time-consuming for her at a time when she didn't have a lot of free time. She was very busy in those years, and I had to compete with her busy schedule.
So from what you wrote in the book and in the appendix, the bulk of the interviews were done over the course of 5 years, and that you're saying that part of the reason was that she was still at a point in her life where she had a lot of stuff going on. Is that?
Oh, yes. She traveled a good deal then. She was on the University of Texas Board of Regents, and that was the equivalent of a full-time job. And she still had her business interests, her communications interests, and she spent a lot of time with her children and grandchildren, too. And then in 1982, she started what would become the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center, and that consumed a great deal of her time, as did the library and the School of Public Affairs. She was involved in both of those as well.
Now, Michael, it appeared that the bulk of the interviews were done at her home, but did you occasionally travel with her to conduct interviews?
Specifically, the Acapulco, every January she would rent a villa that belonged to Eleanor Lambert in Las Brisas. On 2 years, I went. Her philosophy was always to try to get some work done every day, even when she was on vacation, because it made her enjoy her leisure more if she could feel like she was getting some work done. Well, I was the work. So I was a beneficiary of that philosophy that she had.
It's about reading the Lady Bird Johnson oral history. What are some things that you think are important for people to know about?
Well, there are essentially three concurrent tracks in the book. The first is her very perceptive observations and characterizations of the events and the people that she observed during the course of 40 years in Texas and Washington. So she's a witness, observer, participant. And the second track is the political rise of LBJ, which she discusses it greatly. But the third track is her own transformation from a shy country girl to one of the most effective and admired first ladies in American history. So the book contains all of that. One of my favorite portions is where she talks about the courtship LBJ asked her to marry him on their first date. They were riding around Austin. This is about a two-hour segment in the recording spanning two interviews. That's certainly one of my favorites.
Michael, I'm going to let you have the last word, but before I do that, I want to ask you if you want to talk a little bit about Humanities Texas and maybe if, particularly if there's any oral history aspects of your current position.
Sure. Humanities Texas is a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. We advance heritage, culture, and education. We work a great deal with classroom teachers conducting professional development programs for classroom teachers. But we do some oral history. Since this is our 40th anniversary year, one member of our staff is interviewing some of the former board members and executives, and we're using those interviews, featuring them in our electronic newsletter. We have also featured some of the interviews that I did years ago when I was doing oral history with civil rights leaders and World War II veterans.
Michael, our State Humanities Council here funds, does grant funding that occasionally includes oral history as part of whatever grant proposal comes across their transom. Is that something that you all do there at Humanities Texas too?
Yes, especially if there is a public dimension to it, if the interviews find their way into some format that either a publication or an online resource that can benefit the public. We normally don't fund research unless it does have a direct public outlet.
Yeah, that must be somewhat universal because I came here from Idaho and their Humanities Council and the Humanities Council here look at it the same way, that if there's a presentation component, they're more apt to fund oral history than if someone just wants to do oral history.
Right.
Okay, Michael, anything else you want to say either about oral history or the Lady Bird book?
Well, other than the fact that it was a great experience for me to be able to spend that time with Mrs. Johnson. And it was also a wonderful experience to go back and hear her voice after 30 years and read the transcripts. So it was like getting to know her again.
Michael Gillette, thank you very much. The book again is Lady Bird Johnson and Oral History. This concludes our podcast. So, Michael, thanks.